Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part to our EWDN family, and we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. And we want to stop, pause, take a moment, and wish you all a blessed Holy Amen. Week. Yesterday, we all celebrated Palm Sunday, and now we're moving in the great Holy Week of our lives. I hope and pray that is for you. You're getting ready to take this beautiful spiritual pilgrimage. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So yesterday we celebrated Palm Sunday, the liturgy, and now we are in the beginning of Holy Week. This is the holiest time of the year. So much is going to happen this week. It's filled not with just with sorrow, but with joy as well. And it all leads up to that glorious moment that we've all been looking forward to, this Lenten Amen. Season. Lenten, it's lengthening. Yeah. It seemed long. And here we are almost towards Easter Sunday. And with that in mind, we certainly would love to hear from you and talk about those special spiritual moments that we anticipate this week. So this was the question that we put out last week. What are some of the most meaningful and inspiring moments that you look forward to during Holy Week?
It's the liturgies, what's special for you, maybe some of the scriptures that are there that really strike you, but it doesn't have to be the liturgies. It's just what happens to you during Holy Week? What special things do you do? Might be in your family, might be out on the streets, might be whatever. So whatever moves you during Holy Week, whatever you're anticipating, we want to hear from you that you would share with us about these are the particular moments. It might be seeming out in the left field to somebody else, but you're doing something, you're experiencing something, and it'd be a great blessing for us to hear. The Holy Spirit, I just sense His Spirit so present with us. How we need Him in our church, how people need Him who haven't given themselves to Him or who aren't baptized, how we need Him, those who've fallen away, to come back to Jesus Christ, to come back to His church. So what are some of the most meaningful and inspiring moments you look forward to during Holy Week? 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. Call us now. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the question for today's show is this. What are some of the most meaningful and inspiring moments that you look forward to during Holy Week? Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460 or outside North America, 205-271-2980. So I really want to encourage everyone, and you know, I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for an awakening, you know, for people who haven't been to church in a really long time or who've been away from the sacraments, that this would be a time where the Spirit, I'm praying, is all over the earth and drawing you. And you just feel like, I need to go back to confession, or I need to just go and participate in the three holy days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday.
Triduum, yeah.
The Triduum, those three very special days. And that you would enter in to this beautiful spiritual pilgrimage. What is the favorite for me? Well, I'm a convert, and you all know that. And so I do not miss the Holy Saturday night mass. I do not miss it.
A vigil.
I do not. We have, and it's ours. But I think it's one of the best services, mass celebrations
liturgies,
that we have in our liturgy celebration. It's long. People are journeying and they're coming into the church, and we pray for all those catechumens, those that are on their way in. I pray that You would love forever all the days of your life being Catholic, and for all the sponsors and for all the people who catechized you and to bring you along this way. And so it's, we usually, I mean, it's usually kind of like 3 hours.
No, it's quite that long.
It's getting there. I mean, you know, the whole night and, you know, the beautiful, it is just rich. And I'm a convert, so I came from Protestant land and into Catholic land. And I love, and we were Episcopalian, so we did the liturgy, but not with the intensity, and the beauty and the truth that all that is in the Catholic Church. It's one of my favorite liturgy celebrations.
Well, that's a real victory time. People coming from darkness into the light. So
yes.
It's absolutely wonderful. So we want to hear from you. What's your most special time? What are you looking forward to? What are the words that are spoken? What's taking place? Things are coming to me. Hope they're coming to you. I think that Good Friday service is so incredibly meaningful. You know, Christ upon the cross, the 7 last words, the lifting up of the Holy Cross, the kissing of the cross, the kissing of Jesus, the crucifix, is like incredible. The words of Jesus upon the cross when he says, "It is completed." And then it says, Jesus gave up his spirit and he breathed his last. I mean, how powerful is that? That he gave up his spirit and then we're all quiet. We're on our knees. I saw that, you know, at the Vatican, right? We're on EWTN. And the interpreter was saying, now, after they say this for a moment, people are going to be on their knees. There must have been tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people for this, for the mass. For the service. And they were on their knees for, I don't know, it seemed like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, with tens of thousands of people. It was just totally quiet.
It was silent.
As we contemplated God in Christ, Jesus giving up, yielding his spirit. And that says so much, you know, about God made manifest in Jesus Christ, that Jesus loved his own unto the last and experienced to its greatest power, every sin of the flesh and the world and the devil. We give in before you experience the full dose of it. But he took it all in. Jesus bore our sins that we might die to sin, that we might live to him, that we might know eternal life. He breathed his last. So powerful.
Well, we have a quote here. It's from St. Angela Merici. When we contemplate the sufferings of Jesus, he grants us, according to the measure of our faith, the grace to practice the virtue he revealed during those sacred hours. Merici, St. Angela Merici. And then here's another quote from Fulton Sheen. Unless there is a Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday. And that is so beautiful because we all know, I mean, we all know the sufferings and the trials and the tribulations and things that we go to in our life. And nobody has suffered more than our Lord. Not just the physical suffering as terrible as all that was, but the interior suffering and all everything that he endured for love, for the love of you and for the love of me.
And you know, these were not strangers. You know, Jesus, these are every person that participated, they're his children. He called them into existence. So these aren't just strangers or hoods that got a hold of him and killed him. And by the way, there's a sense in which, you know, nobody takes my life, Jesus said. So the suffering of the children, but nobody took Christ's life. Nobody takes my life. They tried to throw him off the cliff. He walked through them. He says, you know, basically, not today, because this is not my hour. Now is my hour. And he allows this to take place. And this is love. And it's the love that we should understand as husband and wife. It's that love that gives itself, as is said about marriage, freely, faithfully, fully, fruitfully. And I share this a number of times. Some years back, you know, as you seek the Lord, what do you want from me in this Lent? What do you want from me in Holy Week? Are you asking the Lord, what do you want from me? Anything, Lord, this Holy Week. And the Lord said to me, Jim, watch me, and you'll learn how to be a husband. You'll learn how to be a father, because this is about me wedding myself to my bride. Watch me during Holy Week. And learn how to make a full donation of yourself to your wife. because that's what I'm doing with the bride. I'm giving myself away fully, faithfully, fruitfully, fearfully, giving my life. And so it's just beautiful. Mm. And it really is about that marriage and that weddedness. And then it is made complete. And people can come to the Lord and become the bride of Christ.
Yeah, so beautiful. I also love Holy Thursday when we go into the sanctuary and the beautiful garden, this, where we go to the cathedral, and it's usually very beautiful. And the stripping of the altar, all the readings, everything that is happening. But this year I was struck by, before the readings, when before Palm Sunday, when Jesus says to, I think it was James and John, the two disciples, he says, go into the town, and you're going to find a colt that's never been ridden. Just tell the guy I have need of it, and I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's like, go onto that car lot, and just take that car, and you're going to borrow that car, but you're going to bring it back in 2025.
He knew people,
okay. but they were being obedient. And then, where were they going to have the Last Supper? Where was that going to be celebrated? It was the same kind of thing. Just go, you're going to see this guy, and you tell him that the Lord has need of this place. Yeah. And because God is making provision. He's not even counting on you and me to help him out. He's gone before. He has it all set up. The stage is all set.
Yeah.
And all you and I have to do is enter in. Don't ask questions, just enter in. And that's the beautiful thing. As I can remember my first Holy Week coming into the Catholic Church. Well, I didn't understand everything, but I was entering in to the best of my ability. I wanted to be there present in body, mind, and spirit. And now, all these years later, what is it, 20-something years later, you're still entering in because God is because you're different, I'm different, we're different people, but God is still revealing himself to us in a new way. So I pray that this Holy Week, that your spiritual pilgrimage, that God would give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond. Just let your heart be tender. Let go. Give all that unforgiveness. Give all that guilt to Jesus. Let that person go who you need to be reconciled with because they just need to understand and figure you out. Well, forget that. Just love them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as a mother, many a time with our young adult children, there were times I felt like I was on the cross. And what are the first words that Jesus speaks from the cross? The first words he speaks. He's on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if you're a parent, that needs to be your mantra. If you're running a business, whatever you're doing, you need to, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Have mercy. Be full of grace. Respond the way Jesus would have you respond, not the way that your flesh wants to respond. And so take that in. And I just pray that you have the most blessed Holy Week of 2025 and that you see things and hear things and know things that you've never known before.
Yeah. Here's a comment from someone. Our parish does a tenebrae service on Wednesday evening of Holy Week. To me, this service of light and dark sets the stage for the days to come. The readings, the responsorial, the gradual darkening of the church, the Philippian hymn sung in darkness with only the Christ candle burning. I find it a truly moving and meaningful service. Mm. Lisa from Facebook. I may have participated in a tenebrae service, but I wish we had more of those because it just sets that atmosphere, still gives you hope.
Well, and the beautiful thing about the liturgy is that it awakens our senses. Right? And so there is the darkening and all so many and the stripping of the altar. There's so many symbols, things to you to understand and ways to enter in. And on Good Friday, when you do the stations on Good Friday, and then when we go up and have the holy reverence of the cross and we kiss or kneel before the crucifix, so many beautiful things to stir you, to awaken you, that you would see and know and understand like you've never seen and known before.
I have another comment here. I'll be coming into the church on the Easter Vigil. I'll be alongside my son, who will be receiving First Communion, and my husband being confirmed. I'm counting down the days. Mm. God is so good. Desiree from Facebook. Thank you, Desiree. What a wonderful, blessed time.
God saved in a household.
Well, mm-hmm. your whole household shall be saved, and you're experiencing that. Thanks for these comments. We just pray that the best is yet to come. Seek his face and follow his back. Come home to Christ. Come back to the church. Mm. God, revive us, renew us, and bring awakening to America, to the world. Mm. In Jesus' name. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, as you know, Pope Francis is back at the Vatican, and he has been making various short public appearances since his hospitalization. So for an update on the Holy Father, we're going to go to Rome to beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan, what is the latest on the Pope?
Greetings, Jim and Joy. Wow, what a week this has been with all of the Holy Father's unannounced outings. And we are only at the beginning of Holy Week, of course, of all the big liturgical events of the year, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, the vigil that evening, and then, of course, Easter of the Resurrection. And on Palm Sunday, however, yesterday, the Holy Father made an appearance, a very brief one, at the end of Mass celebrated in St. Peter's Square. And actually, his participation in Holy Week events has been depending, according to the Holy See Press Office, on what his doctors say and obviously on the weather. So that has not discouraged him so far from attending events unannounced. Now, actually, Sunday, yesterday, was the fourth outing unannounced of this past week. Last Sunday, the Pope appeared in the square at the end of the Mass for the Jubilee of the Sick. And then Thursday, he again surprised the faithful by entering unannounced in St. Peter's Basilica for a very brief period. Saturday, of course, he went, the vigil of Palm Sunday, he went to St. Mary Major to pray before his beloved icon of Salus Populi Romani. Now yesterday, he spent about 10 minutes circulating in his wheelchair among the faithful and among the many cardinals all clad in their scarlet vestments and carrying their pomarelli, their giant woven palm sculptures. But the Pope wished everyone a happy Palm Sunday and a happy Holy Week as he was circulating among them and even shook a few hands. Now, Argentinian Cardinal Leonardo Sandri celebrated Mass, but he read the homily that was written by Pope Francis. And in that homily, Francis called on the faithful to reflect on the Lord's compassion that shows no limits, on how we are meant to carry our own cross during Holy Week and help others all around us who bear the cross of suffering, which of course the Holy Father himself does. And then the Pope recalled how on Palm Sunday, Jesus had his triumphant, joyful entry into Jerusalem, and yet only days later, a condemned man, he left the city of Jerusalem on a path of pain and suffering. So that's what Holy Week is. It is a path of pain and suffering. And yet, at the end, the inexplicable, incredible joy of Easter. On those words, those thoughts, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for another wonderful report. I do think you got to preaching there at the end of it, though. It's the pathway to suffering, but then there's inexplicable joy. Mm. Yes, it's absolutely true. So thank you for joining us today. We want you to ponder. We want you to do your readings each day leading up to Easter. Any way you can make Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the vigil, or just to go to the church Saturday in the morning service there. it's just so critical. We're going to continue to have the conversation about Holy Week Wednesday and Thursday with Father Patrick Mary of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. He's going to speak to us about Holy Week. We're going to have a wonderful conversation. We're going to get to know him better. One of the things I love about Holy Week are the words of Jesus after he washes, divinity washes the disciples' feet. He says, do you understand what I've done to you? Do you understand what I've done to you? And usually I say, I don't understand the magnitude, Lord. I believe. Help my unbelief, Lord. I do want to understand. He says, well then, go and love the mundane. This I command you. As I'm loving you, as I'm washing your feet, especially from the cross, washing you, you do this too. Go and wash your husband's feet, your wife's feet, your children's feet, your friends, your enemies. Go wash their feet too. God, fill us with grace that we might do this. God bless you. All of your loved ones, keep it on EWTN. Bye now.